Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to continue to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So today I have with me LaToya Edwards, and I'm going to get her to introduce herself to you. There you are. All right. Tell us who you are.
Hi. So my name's LaToya, and I am a mama of four boys. This one right here is my youngest. He's 5 months old. Hi. His name's Judah. And we live in Tampa Bay, Florida, where it's super sunny.
Nice. It's sunny here too, but probably not. There's lots of snow.
I know. I see your pictures of you running in the snow, and I'm like, that's insane. So that's about it. Like, it's just me and my boys, and I homeschool, and I have a ministry called Women Finding God, where I try to just encourage women to have bold and courageous faith, you know, through life storms. And a big way of that is through prayer. That's about it. We try to feed the people and keep the house relatively clean and stay sane.
Wow. By yourself. You are... Yes. Wow. That's amazing. So how old are your boys?
So my oldest is about to be 14.
Okay.
And then I have an 11-year-old, and then I have a 4-year-old, and then baby Judah is 5 months.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Good for you. Yep. Way to go. Big so age. I expect that there's some back history to that and why you're doing all that alone, but I don't know if we'll go into that, but way to go. So God must really just keep you going, hey?
Yes, me and Jesus all day long.
Yeah, wow. So are your older kids helpful around the house now?
Very helpful. They are how I get like showers and food. They cook, they clean, they entertain. They're younger siblings. They're awesome.
Wow.
So it can be a little daunting having that big age range, but at the same time, the older two are super helpful.
Yeah, no kidding. And are they fairly independent with their studies right now, or are you still doing quite a bit of teaching?
Well, my oldest is pretty much on his own for most things, about 95% independent. And then my 11-year-old, he's probably about 75. You know, that age, that 9 to 12 is kind of that pushing boundaries and then pulling back. So we're doing a lot of giving more responsibility. Like, oh, nope, too much. Pull it back. Okay, up a little bit more. Oh, nope, back up. Okay, here it is again. Like, you know, that transition from little kid to, you know, older kid. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Some days are better than others, but he's doing good.
So your 14-year-old is past that. That's the stage that I'm in right now. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, so and a 5-year-old. So we're just slowly entering that phase of slow getting out and coming back.
Yeah. And then getting ready to start over with the 4-year-old because he's almost 5. So he'll be starting.
That's right.
Learning to read and basic math and stuff all over again.
Well, that's where the older kids come in handy, right? Because then they can...
I hope so.
Helping with some of that stuff. It's pretty cool. My oldest is really excited about helping my youngest learn to read. So, well, I guess you can't, I mean, they are still kids. You can't make them do all of it, but.
Yeah, no, my kids are like, I got enough of my own work, Mom.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're going to be super awesome adults. Yeah. Boys who know how to do things. That's wonderful. So tell me about you and Jesus. How does this work? How is he keeping you going? Tell us a little bit about how this works every day.
So my journey, you know, it's been kind of a crazy ride. Like, I grew up in the church. Like, I love church ever since I can remember. My dad, he was so funny. He used to tell me that I was like, I would never stay with him. So, like, if my mom went to church and she left me at home, like, I would scream until she came back. And so he was like, no, take the girl with you. So I grew up in the church. You know, it's just Jesus has always been a part of my life. But of course, you grow up, you get older, you start to go through things. And it's like, wait a minute, like, is this really how I want to live my life? And I did the whole prodigal thing for a really long time until like I hit my adult years and like I got married and I was like going through a divorce. I was like, wait, what's going on? Like, it seemed like everything started to fall apart. So like I got divorced. My dad got cancer. He eventually passed. And then like a year later, my pastor passed. And then it was just all of these things, like storm after storm after storm after storm. And it was really at that point where I was like, okay, like either I believe what I think I believe, like, or I don't believe. Because like there was no way that any of that was going to be bearable if I didn't have God, you know, on my side. Like if I didn't have that hope, like I was going to crack up.
Yeah.
And obviously, at the time, I had two boys. That wasn't an option.
Yeah. So
I really began to, like, dig in deep to my faith and just, like, God, like, if you are who I have been taught you are, like, I really need you to show up and show me that. And I had to really embrace my faith for myself and really get to know him, you know, on my own. And what I have found is usually the way that that happens is with hard times. Like, you know, when things are going good, you know, we're like, yeah, yeah, God, yeah, he's there, yeah, Jesus, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when, you know, the fire comes, it's like, oh, no, gee, like, I need you, Lord, I need you, I need you. And we really get to cling to him during that time,
yeah.
And our faith grows. And so that was really what it has been for me. It was just, I hit those hard times, and, like, they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And I was like, okay, like, I cannot handle this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do this on my own. I need something more than me. And, of course, that was God. You know, that was Jesus.
Yeah.
And then when we circle back around, and we're like, okay, now we're single again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, but we know how we're going to get through this because we've done this before. And God was faithful then. He's going to be faithful now. It's still hard, but it's not that, like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to die type of a hard, because, like, no, I can do this. Like, I've done this before.
Hmm.
And God's still the same God. He's still just as good. He's still just as loving. He's still just as kind. And I know he's going to continue to be with me just like he did before. And so that's really been the biggest lesson of, okay, we can go through the hard things and we can survive, so that when the next hard thing comes, because it's going to come,
yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be a big thing. Sometimes it's just, my child is out of control at the moment.
Yeah.
I need Jesus to help me, you know. But when those times come, because you've been through it before and you've had that faith before, it then becomes less overwhelming and you can go through it easier. Not that it gets easier, but you can go through it easier.
Yeah.
And spend a lot less time in that kind of panic, afraid, oh my goodness, what are we going to do, you know, mode. Like, it's like, okay, I got this.
What did God do last time? Yeah. So is there any, like, specific ways that he really helped you during that time, or he's helping you right now, where you're like, oh, that was totally God?
Yeah. You know, there's been so many. So I can think of a time. So when I first became a mom, I was like, I'm going to be the cool mom, and I'm not going to be, like, you know, the soccer mom with the van and the whatever. So it's so funny because my son plays soccer and I drive him. But, like, the way of getting around to that was such a roundabout way, that at the time, because I went to law school and I have a lot of, and I have all that, that was going to be my thing. And I was going to, like, be a mom of the weekend, but be professional,
yeah.
You know, during the week. And he really did a work in my heart that as a single mom, like, I can homeschool as a single mom and stay home with my boys.
Wow.
But God knew all the hard things that were coming. And he knew that me being able to be there with my kids all day was going to be what they needed to get through those times. And so you can really see his hand, you know, in that way. And you can see his hand just, okay, yeah, like, you did this, and this is what you thought you were going to do, but I've got something better. And, like, I love being home with my boys.
Hmm.
I would not trade the time that I get to spend with them for any kind of law career, like, anywhere.
Wow.
Like, just hands down. This is where my heart is. And because I've had that heart change, it has really allowed me to walk with my boys through hard things.
Hmm.
And to just be with them, like, we can take the time to stop and pray or be sad or just take a break because life is, you know, too hard. So that's really been a blessing going through that. And then my oldest son, I joke that he's more spiritually mature than I am. But he is, like, one of those kids that just has a strong faith that does not waver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he reads Revelations for fun. He does that.
Wow.
Yes.
I had a kid, my 10-year-old wanted to read Revelations last year with me, and I'm like, wait, hold on, let's read, like, Luke and Acts first. So we did.
His favorite book. It is his favorite book.
Wow.
And, like, I have only read it once in my whole adult life.
Can't blame you. It's weird.
He's read it, like, 3 or 4 times. He did an inductive study on it last year. Like, that's his thing. He's that kid. And so he often will ask me questions that I don't have answers for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That then forces me to go and get in the Word and pray to try to get some answers to his things. So it all worked out, you know, just really good. And I have this quick testimony, but we had the story of how I got my van that I never wanted. I had a car that got totaled in an accident.
Oh.
And, like, I had insurance, so it covered the car. But, like, it wouldn't replace the car. And it was hard having 3 boys and no transportation. Like, we couldn't get to church. Our church is an hour away. We couldn't get to church. We were having, like, friends were helping us get to appointments and grocery store and all that. And I just remember praying. And I was like, Lord, like, I just need something. Like, I don't care what it is. Anything to drive. And it was such a God thing because 3 months later, I went to church. And one of the members of my church was like, where have you been? Like, I missed you. I was so worried. And this member actually ended up buying me the van that I have.
Wow.
Like,
that's
generous. He was like, actually, I want to help you get a van. And I'm like, oh, he's going to help me look. He's going to help me find. No. I went to the lot. Which one do you want? I like that one. done.
Wow.
And I was just blown away. Yeah. And so there's those little moments like that where God's like, no, like, I will provide. I do see you. I do hear your prayers. Like, what I have is good. It's like, it's paid for. And it was like an amazing deal. It was like, technically like 4 years old, but it only had like 10,000 miles on it. Like, it was nothing that I would have ever been able to get for myself.
Yeah.
Just in that moment of God being like, no, like, I see you. I love you. Mm-hmm. Let me, you know, let me bless you. And it's just been such a blessing to have somebody that I didn't really know, yeah, you know, decide to be a blessing to our family, who has now become part of the family, you know.
That's cool.
It's been amazing. But had I not gone through that hard thing,
yeah,
we would have missed out on my boy seeing God provide in such a big way.
Well, yeah. What a faith builder for them.
Right? To have that testimony to share with other people, and for that person being able to be a blessing to us. So it just, it all, like, it doesn't seem like it in the moment, but it was just, it was a total God thing, and it was beautiful because we were praying, and I was like, I want a van, God. Like, my boys are 6 feet tall. I need space, but I can't afford a van. They're blah, blah, blah. Like, all the excuses under the sun, and little did I know that I was going to get what I prayed for that I originally said I didn't want.
Yeah, it's got, seems to do that sometimes, hey, where you're like, that's not the thing that I want. I decided I did not want to live in the suburbs when I was like 18 or 19. I grew up in the suburbs and I was like, no, I'm getting out. I'm going to go live in the city, like, where there's more than just people that look like me. And then we ended up living back here and I was like, all right, people in the suburbs need Jesus too. Fine. It's not what I wanted. Yes. Oh,
about me, Lord. It's not about me.
Ew. Yeah, I know, right? That's funny. So we in our membership site have been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Very slowly, we've been doing one fruit per month, and you had talked about growing in peace, or God helping you grow that fruit in your life. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, we have talked about it a little bit, but tell us a little more.
Yeah. Well, I just remember, like, anytime we go through a hard thing, like, that's what we want. Lord, I just need peace. I need peace. You know, God, you silence the storm. You blah, 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 blah. That's what we want. And we want the thing to go away. And I remember praying those prayers, like, for years. And God really taught me a big lesson that has helped future hard times. And I joke that the disciple I relate to the most is Peter. I tend to get a lot of things wrong all of the time. And I remember I was reading one day of the story of him walking on water. A very common story. Yeah. We tell it to our kids. Like, and it just, it really struck me that, like, I was like, so Jesus was there and Peter is walking out and he's already said, hey, listen, we're going to go and do this thing. So, like, the destination was assured, but still Jesus let Peter sink in the water. And I was like, okay. So sometimes what we want is peace. We want God, help us, save us, help us, save us. And he doesn't take away the thing that's going on around us. Like, that's not the peace that he promises. He doesn't promise to make everything good and happy. He doesn't promise to make the pain go away, right? In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I've overcome. Like, so, like, we just so desperately want the bad thing to go away. Like, I wanted my dad to get better. You know, I wanted to not be a single mom. I wanted to not have financial problems. But God's like, listen, like, I could do that for you, but what are you going to learn? Right? So in that moment, I said, okay, so God, so the peace that God offers, which was just mind-blowing for me, is it's peace in the storm.
Yeah.
Not from the storm.
Yeah.
It's peace. All of that is going on. And it's peace that he is good. It's that when Peter sank and he said, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
Instantly. That God was right there, picked him up. Right? That's the peace that he offers, that he's going to be with us no matter how bad it looks. That he is there. He's going to hear your prayers. He's going to be there. And it's not going to be like what you want, because Jesus could have totally kept Peter from sinking.
He could have. Yeah.
He could have totally quieted the storm in the first place, so exactly, that he wouldn't have anything to be distracted by.
Yeah.
But he did. He simply was there. And, like, that's the peace that God offers. And that is what carries me through so many things. Because often we feel, like, alone. It's like, God, where are you? Like, our friends are gone. Like, nobody can help us. And we get in that desperate place. And I just have to remind, no, he's here. Like, even in the storm, he's here. I just have to remember to call out to him.
We've been reading, have you heard of The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls? Have you read those books with your boys? Ooh. Maybe your boys are too young and too old for them right now.
They're the
chapter books. And anyway, so the kids go into, like, Bible times and they're in creation and everything is going wrong for them. Like, they're getting separated And this boy keeps saying, like, how is this even good? God keeps saying this is good. And how is it good when my sister is lost and I'm starving? And then eventually they call out for help. And suddenly this angel shows up and helps them. And they're like, where were you before? And he's like, oh, I was just waiting for you to ask.
Right.
right. And they're like, oh, yeah, maybe we should remember to ask. And in the second book, they also forget to ask for help. And then...
And well, because we get so focused on, like Peter, we get focused on the wind and the rain and the waves, and that's when we sink. No, keep your eyes on God. Like, if Peter would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
If we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we'd be fine. It doesn't mean that the storm goes away, mm-hmm. but our focus is on the right thing. And yeah, that's so true. It's like, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. Mm. You have to actually ask and call out. And he's like, finally you did what I've been waiting for you to do this whole time.
I'm waiting to help you. It just might not be the kind of help that you were waiting for, but it's going to be the best help.
Yes, exactly. I mean, so many times it's just been like, I will be at my wit's end. I'll be like, Lord, where are you? And like a verse will come to mind that brings comfort. Yeah. Or I'll get a text from a friend, hey, we're thinking about you. Like, it's these little itty bitty things, you know, that they do matter. They do make a difference. But sometimes we miss it because we're looking for God to come in and wave his magic wand and make everything go poof and it's perfect. And he's like, no, like you're not gonna grow. You're not gonna get stronger. You're not gonna know me better if I always come in and just fix everything.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of cases in the Bible where God didn't just fix it. I was listening to the story of Abraham the other day. Abraham and Sarah, and you know, they have that issue with Hagar. Like, not the issue, but like they go and introduce Hagar into their story, right? And I'm thinking all this tension and problems. Hagar came from Egypt. She was an Egyptian slave. And where had they gone from the promised land when they weren't trusting God? The promised, or not the promised land, like from Canaan. And God's like, Canaan is going to be your place. It's going to be the promise that I give you. And then there's a famine. They don't trust God. They end up back in Egypt, where Abraham again doesn't trust God, pretends that Sarah's just his sister, not his wife. And I'm assuming, it doesn't say, but I'm assuming that's where they got Hagar, because the Pharaoh gave them slaves and
trying to appease God.
From not trusting and then not trusting and then not trusting again, they end up creating all these problems.
Yes, we do. God, I want you to do such and such. Oh no, wait, God, you're taking too long. Let me fix it myself.
That's right.
I meant that. Just kidding. God, come back.
Well, the beautiful thing though is that God, I mean, he does work through all those things. So I'm very glad he does that. Yes. Makes beauty from ashes and from all the mistakes that we make. Whew.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
Yep. I love that. All things work together for the good of those who love God. And I have to remind my kids that sometimes the good that's done is just that we get to be closer to Jesus or more like Jesus. Yeah. Not always good that the outcome is good here on earth. That's sometimes it's just that we know more about God than we did before we walked through that thing.
That's right. Yeah. There are some things that you're like, I don't see any good coming from that. Like, my sister passed away when she was 18. She was in a car accident. And sometimes I think, like, there was no good that came from that. But I suppose you're right. Like, the good that came from that is that I do know God deeper. And I learned that I could pass through that storm with him. So just let's switch gears a little bit here. So you have your boys with you all the time. And it sounds like you do a lot of praying and talking about the Bible with them. Is that fairly natural for you guys? Has it always been what you've done? Or was there a time when that wasn't natural and you kind of had to start?
It's not been natural. I did not grow up with like family devotions and all. Like, I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
But like, my dad was not saved. And so it was my mom taking us to church and church events. So that was like, that was my faith, was Sunday or whatever children's ministry thing that I went to. Like, that was it. Yeah. And then as a teenager, we ended up at a church that it was extremely legalistic and I didn't fit in. And so, of course, like, I was under attack and that, and which is really kind of, I pulled away. And so I kind of learned to develop my own personal relationship at the same time as trying to create a culture where I was sharing that with my kids. So we've kind of grown into it together. And it's not perfect because, like, my oldest son, like, he loves his Bible study. My second son, not so much. Not a perfect thing.
How come it didn't work both times?
So, like, when they were really young, I was like, okay, I want them to just know the Bible, like, just as a basis. Like, can we know the Bible stories? And so I had the Golden Children's Bible. It's this really big, like, old storybook Bible that I had as a kid. I pulled that out and would read one story a night. And then we finished that. And I was like, now what? Right? And so we would watch Superbook and Jelly Telly, you know, and all mm-hmm. these things that we were doing that. And I was like, okay, this is crazy because, like, I was trying to put together stuff and figure it out. And I just was like, okay, I need some help. And what I eventually settled on was just, like, let's just do life. Like, can we talk about God and talk about what we're learning? Hey, boys, this is what Mom read this morning. Like, did you know that? Or, okay, I have a child that's struggling to forgive his brother. Can I spend some time on my own reading about forgiveness so that the next time a teachable moment pops up, can I have, like, something that I can share, you know, and to do those things, as well as having them in things like Royal Rangers or Awana and those other programs to expose them to. So, like, it's there, but I had to figure out a way to make it doable.
Yeah. Well, you had to make like, it work for your family, too. Like, not everybody's family can, you know, spend 20-minute family devotions after supper.
Right. Which and even like as homeschoolers, they're home all day. Like I still was having a hard time being consistent with it. Mm-hmm. Like I laugh because we have the Apologia Worldview series, which are a great book. It's taken us 5 years to go through book two.
That sounds familiar with a lot of things in our life.
And not because it's hard. I just keep forgetting to pull it out. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, we still haven't finished that book yet. Just really making it doable and taking the pressure off of it. Like, I was like, okay, we don't have to like sit down and have communion and Latin and like, it doesn't have to be
Latin,
you know, just, can we maybe play a worship song on Pandora that we all, you know, like and read a verse or, you know, read a missionary biography and hear about their faith and their life. So just really taking the pressure off and the stress off and just being like, okay, we're just supposed to do life and we're supposed to teach them while we're walking and cleaning and working and, and whatever. Like, what does that look like? And, okay, it doesn't mean I got to block off 45 minutes from 6 a.m. to, you know, every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I really just made it easy, which I think also, like, I think when you try to force your kids into this thing, like, sometimes they rebel.
Yeah. Oh, against I agree. That. Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't want to do that. It takes too much time. And I, you know, and that. So, you know, just kind of making it easy and then allowing my kids to see me have my time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll leave my Bible out, leave my journal out. Hey, Mom, what's that? That's a new Bible study that I'm working on. Okay, boys, I'm going to go and study for a little bit. Okay, Mom's going in her room for the next hour. Did you, you know, don't interrupt me unless the house is on fire because I'm going to go and pray.
Right.
Just, you know, things like that has been really helpful.
So they know that this is a real thing for you, this relationship with God, and it's slowly becoming real for them too. I love that. I think it's just natural. It's what talks about in Deuteronomy 6, right? Talk about these things when you're walking along the road and when you're lying down, when you're getting up. That's exactly what you were saying, you know, when you're cleaning and when you're cooking dinner. And that doesn't mean that we talk about God every second of the day, but we bring it in. I like what you were saying about, you know, if your child is struggling with something, going and doing a little study on it and then being prepared for
myself.
That moment.
I'm like, hey, look what I found. And, you know, sometimes, oh, really, where is that? And it's like, haha, you're reading the Bible.
That's right.
Like, it works. It's great. And then, you know, having a child that really, that's not his thing, is learning how can I share with him? How can I help him? Mm-hmm. He loves Jesus. You know, he wants to follow him, but he's just like, Mom, I don't want to, like, I'm not a Bible scholar. Like, he's not going to be that kid with 5 dictionaries and 8 commentaries. That's not going to be him. Might be his big brother, but it's not going to be him, and that's okay. And so really learning, how could I help him with his faith?
Yeah.
And I, you know, he likes to just kind of, oh, I have this thought. I wonder what, you know, and we just kind of talk, like, what's on your mind? What's in your heart? Where are you struggling? Okay, here's a verse. Like, would you be willing to, like, you know, read a couple verses with Mom today? Yeah, okay. You know, we talk about it.
Oh, I love that.
So, you know, figuring that out and just meeting them where they're at, because, like, not everybody worships the same way. Not everybody connects to God in the same way. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see that more clearly than in your own children.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. I have one kind of like yours who's quite intellectual. He's the one that also wanted to read Revelation. I don't know what it is about Revelation. And then my second one is like, at 4, he was like, how do I know God is there? Like, I can't see him. And so he's always just been kind of like, I don't really talk to God on my own. And so it's just something we're just kind of trying to be natural about. I'm trying not to pressure him, make him feel guilty for having a different kind of faith. Because I think that my husband felt wrong or guilty for a long time because he wasn't having these like big adventures of faith and these big experiences with God. And he was made to feel like, well, if you're not having those, then I don't think it was his parents. It wasn't his parents that made him feel like that. It's just like the general feeling that he got from church. Oh, sorry?
Right. I said you just get that impression of the cult, like culturally as a Christian.
Yeah.
Everybody's 2 hours in their prayer closet, fasting 8 times a week, and you know that. And it's like, oh, no? Everybody's not doing that? Oh, okay.
That's right.
Like, I've had that as a mom. You know, it's like, listen, I'm not in a season where I have hours upon hours to read and pray. Like, some days I get one verse in while nursing the baby in the morning, and that's it.
That's pretty
good. I'm like, okay.
That's right.
You know, I'll talk to God. Like, God, I'll talk to you when I start washing the dishes later today. Like, you know, I'll come back to that.
Exactly.
And so just being free to kind of figure out, how does God talk to me? How do I relate to God? How do I like to study? You know, like, I discovered audio Bibles, and I was like,
oh, yeah,
that's cheating. And I was like, no, that's not cheating.
I thought
that's
it was cheating too. No, wait, this is how, like, billions of people have heard the Bible. There was a lot of people who don't know how to read.
Yep.
But, yeah, and I love being able to share that with our kids, too, that it looks differently, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to relate to God the same way that your brother relates to God. So
and I think for us, too, just, like, because when you go through hard things, like, your kids will have questions. Like, they will often have the same questions that you're having.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Why hasn't it gotten better yet? But mom, we prayed, and if God says he's going to do this, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, it gives lots of opportunities for those discussions.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell my kids, I'm like, listen, it's okay to have questions. Like, I'll be honest with you, you know what? I was just asking God that this morning.
Yeah, that's really healthy, too, I think, for kids to know that we have questions and for us to say, I don't know, sometimes, right? I'm still waiting for that answer from God.
Exactly. I'm like, I'll let you know what he said.
Yeah. That's right. Well, it sounds like your Judah is getting a little bit antsy there, hey? He's very chatty. We love that.
He can't.
Oh, my goodness. He's so cute.
Yeah.
So, I'll let you go here soon, but before you go, tell us, I know that you have a Facebook page and a website, but tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with your ministry. Because you're also, as in addition to homeschooling your children, you have this ministry.
I do. So I just, at Woman Finding God, like, I just, through all of my trials and this, like, I have just understood the importance of really, like, knowing God, like, who he is. Because, like, if you know who God is and who his character is and what his nature is, that will trump your fears and your worries and your anxieties. And that's where you get your hope from, right? Like, if God says he's this, then okay.
Right.
We're good. And so that's what I share over at Woman Finding God. If you go to womanfindinggod.com, you'll, you know, find all the places there.
Okay.
So I just really encourage women to just keep looking, because he promises that if you seek him, you know, he's not hiding.
You'll
find him and he'll bless you. And I try to encourage people to just be practical and, like, real about their faith. Like, if you're walking through a hard time, like, yes, that's the time where you probably need your quiet time the most, or your whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But, like, if you can't get 5 hours in because you're in the middle of crisis, like, okay, do 5 minutes, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be this big production, this big thing.
Yeah.
Keep it simple and keep it doable. And I also encourage them, listen, when you're having those seasons where you're, you know, not in the valley, dig in deep.
Yeah.
Like, that's the time to dig deep.
Yeah, that's
so that, you know, when you hit the valley, like, you've already done the work and it's already there. So we're just, you know, we're just all praying for each other and growing together and just, you know, holding each other up as we walk through, you know, different hard times. Because, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be death or divorce. Like, some people's hard times, it's just, you know what, I'm struggling with my temper with my kids. Can y'all please pray for me? Because I'm like, I've totally been there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, happy, big or small. But just to be there, to just encourage each other and remember to keep pointing each other back to God, you know, because that's what it's about.
Amen.
Right?
Thank you.
If mama can be straight, then we can help guide the kids in the right direction.
That's right. Oh, thank you so much, LaToya. This has been really great. I love your wisdom and sharing about your boys, and I've learned so much and been really encouraged. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm going to turn off the live now. See you later.